Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
All right, hour number two of the nation, Brian Dantzel, Elite Media Network, going to join us, talk all things college football. As we just had a little Darty, we'll pick things up with a little Finest coming up. We got Krusty's Corner, all the breakdown from what happened yesterday in a Cowboys L as they dropped the season finale to the Chargers, 34-17. But let's welcome in our buddy right now, Brian Dantzel, Elite Media Network. Brian, how are you? How was all the consumption of the first round of the college football playoff? He's on the Zoomy Zoom.
We see him on the Zoomy Zoom.
We see you. We'll figure this out with you there, Brian. We see you on the Zoom. He's located on the Zoom. We see him. He's waving. He's talking to us. He's in the video. He's in the building. We just can't hear you yet, but we'll get you here in just a second, as we did not talk about the two games after what happened with A&M Miami. Everybody ripping on the group of five. Choppy trying to take a victory lap earlier today. Here's the thing. If last year's first round had been more competitive, because you didn't have Boise State. Boise State was the non-group of five representative. They got the bye. They didn't play until the next round and then lost to Penn State in the Fiesta Bowl. The closest game in the first round last year with all the big dogs was Indiana-Notre Dame.
Yeah.
10-point game. So, yeah, Tennessee, Ohio State, what happened? Ohio State beat the crap out of Tennessee. Texas, Clemson, what happened? Texas ran Clemson. So all the games in the first round last year also were not good. I don't know how you necessarily fix this, but I don't think it's a group of five problem right now. I think that Tulane deserved to be in that game, and they moved the football some in the beginning. I thought they were going to actually be competitive for a little bit, and then, of course, Ole Miss runs away with this thing. JMU, I'm with you. You want to argue JMU shouldn't have been in there? Blame the ACC in their tiebreaker. That's really what screwed this thing and put JMU in there. But the ACC is going to work to fix that, and we'll probably go to a group of 16 next year, I think, will be most likely what ends up happening here.
Yeah, I mean, at least, you know, this year you've gotten the two upsets, right, where Alabama goes into Norman and wins, and you get Miami going into College Station and winning. So this year, if you look at it, like the group of fives, they got clobbered, and the quote-unquote blue blood kind of big dog programs, they went and handled business on the road. So now it's kind of flipped a little bit from that standpoint from last year to this year. But I mean, more than likely, like, no matter how much, like, the expansion factor, these guys aren't going to go on deep runs. Like, you have your top 4 to 6 teams, and that's what it's going to be. So whether you expand it, like, it doesn't matter. Most of those first round games are going to end up getting out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, to me, there has to be something. I appreciate these guys having really a great season. I kind of want to believe, though, if you finish in the top 12, then you should be considered for the.
So let's just make it. Whoever's the top 12 gets in.
Yeah.
And let's eliminate the conference championship games.
I think there's something there. I think we got Brian on the phone now. If you want to go,
Brian Dantzel joining us, Elite Media Network. Brian, we were just having the conversation. I think you were able to hear some of that we were talking about, the group of five. I mean, now it happened, right? So you had JMU get blown out. You had Tulane get blown out. So everyone that was saying they don't deserve to be in the playoff, they're taking their victory lap now. What's your take on this? And then, you know, really the lack of competitiveness even last year in the first round that we saw.
Boys, good afternoon. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah for those who celebrate.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, you're right. We ended up getting to the first round of the playoffs, and once again, it just turned into one of those, do we want to see these things moments? It was 4-0 for the home team last year, an average margin of victory of 19.3 points. It was 2-2 this season, an average margin of victory of 16.3 points. Are we wasting the notion of a playoff here, right? we love the notion professionally. We know we're going to get a good game. Well, what ended up happening? We got Alabama and Oklahoma on a standalone Friday night game where the spread was 10, or excuse me, the margin of victory was 10. You get Miami and Texas A&M, two very good names in the business as well. The spread was 7. So at the end of the day, like James Madison going to Oregon, not exactly what we wanted to see. Tulane versus Ole Miss, we can go back on this and say, look, I would have rather seen, like, you know, hell, the ACC champion in there to take that beating as opposed to someone like a Tulane, because we already saw that game. And so we talked about it a couple weeks ago. It's a very slippery slope when you get through, all right, who gets in and who doesn't, and it's 12 too much. So that leaves us for the conversation.
A&M. Wow. Offensively, I don't think any of us saw that coming. I mean, Eric just went through with all the wind and the field goal kicking situation was just brutal for them. What were your takeaways from A&M's performance? And could Colin Klein maybe have been a little distracted knowing he was taking that K-State gig?
And this is probably where my biggest gripe with the CFP and the way it kind of occurs is, right? A&M now, we've seen their final two games of the season. It was absolutely their worst games of the season. They end up giving 5 sacks to a Miami defense that is obviously very hungry. And 7 sacks to a Miami defense who's obviously very hungry. And at the end of the day, they just weren't able to move the ball, and Marcel Reed wasn't exactly good when he was supposed to be. So on the outside of things, when you take a look at how dangerous of a Miami team this is, and I think you could talk to all the college football pundits, offensive and defensive line-wise, they're probably the best team in the tournament. You know, and I'm sure that Indiana and Ohio State are probably going to have a gripe with that. But at the end of the day, they're now going to face, and thank goodness for everybody over at the Cotton Bowl committee with Scotty Rogers and all of our good friends, they now get to see a Miami take on an Ohio State where Ohio State gets to walk in and they feel like, coming in as the previous national champion, hey, we're going to run this. But at the end of the day, that's not the way it works. It's about how you come into the game. They just ended up giving up 5 sacks to Indiana, who ended up taking the Big Ten crown away from them. They now have to face that Miami team with that defensive line, who basically all the front four is NFL bound. So good luck to Ohio State and Dallas. It doesn't look good for you. The 9.5-point spread at this point is way too much, and you guys are going to get a great game in Dallas.
Brian, do you think this is one of those things where with A&M, their schedule ended up being one of those things that we should have seen coming where they really didn't play anybody that was that impressive. And when they did, Texas, Miami, they really got rocked.
Yeah, I remember being on with you boys probably towards the latter end of November. And I ended up telling you, like, at the end of the day, did A&M really play anybody? And the answer clearly was no. You know, they get to Texas in that big standalone game on a Friday night after Thanksgiving, and they end up taking their beating there. Now, again, you know, had Texas played better in that first half, that might have been a lot larger of a spread, and we could have easily downtrodden A&M at that point and said, maybe they're not worthy of this spot. But, you know, the fact that they lost to a rival in a game that everybody saw, we kind of said, all right, they're going to get into the playoff, but where should we see them? And again, at the end of the day, had they been a higher seed, they wouldn't have needed to face someone like a Miami and probably got away with it. But I do feel like their scheduling probably worked against them. Coming in 11-0 was probably the aberration that them and their fan base needed to go ahead and kind of keep them in the discussion.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Discussion, but at the end of the day, when they needed to play their best, they just didn't.
Is there any advantage to the situation what George is about to face with, you know, already having played somebody? You know, and the thing in the playoffs, you'd like to believe that, okay, maybe you're going to get somebody you haven't faced. But the fact that they know this Ole Miss team, is that a big advantage to them?
I think it is. And so not just the advantage, right? Let's not forget, boys, Ole Miss had an 8-point lead going into the fourth quarter against Georgia.
Yeah.
So the biggest key factor that's missing at this point is Lane Kiffin.
Right.
Someone who basically can, you know, quote unquote, let it all hang out, right? Because he's no longer there and over brought us to school there. It just turns into one of those. Had this happened weeks ago, it probably would have been a game that we wanted to see. Georgia's been on this stage before, and
right.
Ole Miss has not. Right. So this really does turn into a chip on the shoulder for Georgia, because they're like, look, this is nothing new to us. We're just going to go ahead and play our game and take this team out because we know we're capable of it. And so going back to something that we had all talked about earlier in terms of the CFP, this is my issue with the CFP is we're no longer playing one season. We're playing essentially two different seasons.
Yeah.
You've got your 2025 edition of your team, and that's who got you into the playoffs. Now, all of a sudden, you're dealing with coaches that have moved on, players who want to enter your transfer portal. You are now dealing with a 2026 version of your team playing at the end of December. And so, again, the notion of a playoff, fantastic. But at the end of the day, it's just not what it was intended to be, if you will.
Brian Dantzel with the Show 105 Through the Fan. You're absolutely right. I mean, Oregon's seeing kids leave and enter the portal now. They're about to play Texas Tech, of course, coming up in the Orange Bowl. And you know, Joey McGuire, Texas Tech's coach, has thrown out ideas of moving the schedule. I think it's clear they've got to do something where not only do you have signing day in December, you've got these coaches that maybe that's why the schools have to then have their coach in place. I mean, I don't know if there's an easy answer, Brian. Well, what are your thoughts on what they can do to fix this?
So I was at the National Football Foundation gala a couple of weeks ago in Las Vegas. They ended up inducting a couple of head coaches into the Hall of Fame amongst a number of players. One of those coaches that I spoke to was Coach Saban. And kind of off the record, I did have him on for about 10 minutes, and we talked about, you know, his lore and him getting into the college football playoff and, you know, the seven national championships and all. But at the end of the day, like, we wanted to talk about how do we fix this? And at the end of the day, it turns into a money issue.
Yeah.
The schools are never going to relinquish what the actual school calendar is. So you're playing against two different things here. And at the end of the day, there's so much money involved. I'm not sure that you can backtrack now out of this. You've already opened Pandora's box to 12 different teams, and you've already moved your national championship game to play on Martin Luther King night, which is very, very deep for a college football season, right? We can all remember when the college football season would begin around Labor Day and end on January 1st.
Yep.
They need to find a good way to and a good mixture to fix that and have that end the same way. That way the school calendar just gets taken away completely. But again, boys, at the end of the day, we were just talking about it. You just don't fix the money problem. It's there, yeah. And we've got to deal with it.
Yeah, Brian, and you're exactly right. And I, if I'm an administrator or one of these university presidents, and I'm having to put out, you know, $20, $30 million for NIL money that the government has made me do and all that, you're not touching my schedule. You're not touching my timelines or anything like that. You know, the reason we're doing this is so I could pay all my student athletes. And so if I'm a president or a athletic director, all that, you could keep coming at me with move the calendar, and I'm just going to keep shaking my head, because where am I going to get the money if I don't do it the way we currently do it?
Correct. Yeah. And at the end of the day, just like, you know, Brian, with your LSU team, it's just one of those, I can go ahead and give the $20.5 million to my kids.
Yeah.
It's the other $25 million that I'm worried about that I need to give extra to make myself relevant within this CFP process. And so that's kind of the issue that everybody's having to deal with now. And let's face it, folks, everybody can't do it. You know, I know that there's a very good contingency of North Texas folks in the room there. And at the end of the day, yeah, it would have been great to see them in. But would they have fallen upon the sword just like a JMU, like Tulane? Absolutely. And again, I just don't know that that's good for the nature of the game.
Yeah, JMU has a $50 million athletic budget, and Oregon has a $150 million. I mean, it's not, but you know what? Hey, congratulations, JMU. You went in there, you were competitive, you did what you had to do, you got your payday. You know, that's all, you know, that's all pretty much what they knew. They accomplished their mission. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been nice to win the game, but they weren't going to win that game.
it's a great point, Brian, and not just that, right? So for getting to the first round, they end up getting the millions of dollars that come along with being in the CFP, but it doesn't come to the school. It goes to the conference. So now the conference ends up getting that money.
Yeah.
So, hey, guess what? If this is what we really wanted to see, let's have North Texas face, Ohio State in early September for a $2 million game.
Right.
That money actually does go to North
there
Texas.
There you go. There you go. I mean, like I said, to me, it's about the money goes to the conference, but, you know, there's money that goes to us. It makes the conference stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So when there are considerations about, should this team be in the playoff or not, because maybe the conference is stronger, maybe it helps people make, because maybe the games are a little bit better because of the players that you're able to get.
So maybe that's one of the stipulations that we add here. Now that everybody's got to play 9 power conference games, including your 9 conference games and then one more power 4 conference, maybe that's the way we do this, right? The 2 non-conference games against a non-power 4, they now end up getting $2.5 million to come and play on somebody's campus. And again, these are the games that we end up seeing where, like, James Madison heads to Michigan.
Brian, which team has the best chance at a round 2 upset, Miami over Ohio State or Bama over Indiana?
Definitely Bama. I think you're going to get a really interesting Bama team coming out of this. Now, that being said, I think we're all going to go ahead and kind of joke around about this, but we all do realize that Kalen DeBoer is waiting to leave, yes? And the longer that they end up winning, he's got to sit and stay pat at Alabama. There's a job open in Michigan. His name is all over it. It's dirty at this point. We don't exactly know how long he's going to last for. But at the end of the day, like, he does have the pedigree to go ahead and get over an unproven, at this point, Indiana team, right? Yes, they've beaten Ohio State. Ohio State didn't exactly show very much in that Big Ten championship game. So at the end of the day, pat on the back to Indiana, but I think they're going to get their true test to the Rose Bowl on January 1st.
Ryan, you're the man. Thank you so much, bro. Always fun talking college football. We'll be doing it again soon with you.
Absolutely. Have a great afternoon, guys.
There he goes. Brian Dantzel, Elite Media Network, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Kalen DeBoer, only coach to win a CFP game with 2 different schools after he knocked off Oklahoma with Alabama. All right. Let's do a little football's finest next, Eric.
Yes, we have your stat of the day, the TD of the year, and which team had the best victory of the weekend next to the nation?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.